Tereshiyah Masechta Yevamos, Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Says, so to understand this Mishnah, we first have to try to explain, illustrate exactly what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to. If a man married a woman, for example, Yaakov married Leah, and they had a daughter whose name was Dinah. And now Yaakov passed away, and Chetzron married Leah. And they had a daughter, Chetzron and Leah, whose name was Yocheved. So now it turns out that Dinah and Yocheved are sisters from the same mother, Leah. Then Chetzron married Keturah, and they had a daughter whose name is Sarah. So now Yocheved and Sarah are sisters from the father, Chetzron. Chetzron dies, and now Besuel marries Keturah, and they have a daughter whose name is Rivka. So Sarah and Rivka are sisters from the same mother, Keturah. Besuel then marries Chanah, and they have a daughter whose name is Milcah. So Rivka and Milcah have the same father, Besuel. Now we have Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers. Reuven married Milcah, and Reuven then went off to Medina Siyam. Vamruloi, and it was reported that Mesa Ishtacha, that your wife died. And because of that, Nasa, he married Rivka, who is a Chosa Meavia. They share the same father. They're both daughters of Besuel. They don't share the same mother, because Rivka is the daughter of Keturah. Then Edom come and say that Rivka died, and he married Sarah, who was the sister of Rivka from her mother. As we've been discussing extensively in our shiurim, you're allowed to marry your wife's sister after she passes away. So they're sisters from the mother, but not from the same father, because Sarah is the daughter of Chetzron. So it turns out that Sarah is not related to Reuven at all, who was Reuven's first wife. Then they came and they told him that Sarah, his third wife, passed away, and he married Yocheved, who's her sister from her father. They're both the daughters of Chetzron, but they don't share the same mother, because Yocheved is the daughter of Leah. And therefore, Yocheved is not related at all to Rivka, Reuven's second wife. Then they came, they told him that Yocheved died, and he married Dinah, Achosa Me'ima, because they're both the same mother, Leah. But they don't have the same father, because Dinah is the daughter of Yaakov. So it turns out that Dinah is not related to Sarah, his third wife. And then it turns out that Vinimtsa Kulan Kayamis, all of these reports that he received were wrong. And all the wives that he had been told were not alive, the halacha is they were really alive. Vinimtsa Kulan Kayamis, the halacha is Mutta Brishaina Ubishlishis. He can remain married to Milcah and Sarah, because Milcah is not related at all to point, as we pointed out, to Sarah and Bechamishus, and he can be remarried to the fifth wife, Poitras per Sarasayim. And the halacha is that if Reuven died without any children, and Shimon did Yibum, they're considered full-fledged wives of Reuven, that the halacha that we began our Masechta with, that if you do Yibum with a wife who is truly your wife, not if a Yibum is done with a woman who's truly your wife, the halacha is that there is no need for Yibum or Chalitza. However, with the other wives, also b'shnei b'rvias, but he can't remarry to the second wife, because the second wife, Rivka, is Milcah's sister. They share the same father. And when they have the same father, there is no Kedushin. Or Brevius, he can't remain married to Yocheved, because Sarah, we said, is a full-fledged wife, and Yocheved is not therefore able to have Kedushin with Ruvain. And since their Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin, Ein Bias Achsmehen Pateres Sarasa. Doing Bia with one of the sisters, doing a Bia, a Yibam with this wife, is a totally meaningless act because they're not really wives. And doing Yibam with a woman who's not a wife is a meaningless act. Of course, Tosfos asks that why did the Mishnah have to speak about this complicated case that we mentioned with the five wives? We could have had the exact same lesson taught with three wives. So Tosfos answers that indeed the exact same lesson could have been expressed that way. But once we have five wives, there's more of a concern, says Tosfos, of a mix-up than when there's just three wives. So we would think that maybe when there are three wives, Chazal would be machmer and say that they may not remain married together under such circumstances. That's why it was necessary, says Tosfos, for us to speak about a case where there were so many wives and to teach us that even though there were so many wives, the halacha is that that the wives that were legitimately married may remain with them. If, however, the report that came back was somewhat accurate, if the report is that the wife who he was told for, his first wife indeed died, and he only had relations with her sister after she passed away. So it means after Milka passed away, he was allowed to marry Rivka, her sister. So then that marriage is legitimate. And then if it turns out that the other sisters did not die, that all the other wives did not die, so in that case, Shnia, the marriage with the Shnia, with the second wife is a legitimate marriage. Bervius, the fourth wife, is a legitimate marriage because there's the second wife and the fourth wife are not related at all. And Patrus are the same. And those marriages are so strong that if he would die without children, the halacha would be that the yibum that would be done with these women would be such a strong yibum that the tzaris that they have would not require anything yibum or chalitza. It would be a perfect yibum. But he's usur b'shlishis b'chamishis. He can't remain married with the third wife and the fifth wife because they are sisters to wives who the halacha just legitimized. Ein bias achsmehen, and therefore, if somebody did yibum with one of those wives, it's a meaningless act because they weren't his wives, and therefore the bia with one of them does not alleviate that the sister has to have that the tzara would have to have yibum chalitza. Says the Mishnah, ben teisha shon of yom echad. If a 9-year-old brother did bia with a Yuvama, with his sister-in-law, because his brother died without children. Or he did Maimer with that woman. Who pays Alidei Achim? He makes this Yuvama usher to all the brothers. That means, as of course we always know, that if one brother does Yibum, or even if he does Maimer, all the other wives and all the other brothers are no longer candidates to do Yibum Mechalitza. Certainly, lechatchila. V'achlam paislin. If one brother, this 9-year-old brother, did yibum or maimer in the sister-in-law, if the another brother did maimer or certainly bia afterwards, the halacha would be she would become disqualified to her husband. Paislin al yadai. Even though he, the 9-year-old, did Yibam Maimer first. However, there's a difference between who is the one that's creating the problems. Ella, Shuhu, Paisel, if this 9-year-old boy did Maimer before everyone else, then we have here an issue if another brother is going to do something afterwards. But if one of the brothers who's over bar mitzvah did maimer, if the brother who's a katan afterwards will do maimer, we will totally discount that maimer. Achlan poison tchila. That means if, but we talk, so that's the difference. That's the halacha by the brother who's only 9 years old. But if the adult brothers, if they did maimer first, and certainly this would be the halacha, they did, if they did maimer or bia first, besoif, or if they did maimer after the cotton did maimer or bia, then the halacha is that the cotton's maimer or bia that was done first is something that's going to be taken into consideration. And the Mishnah illustrates, Ketzad, ben tesh shana v'yemech shabal yivimta. If you have a 9-year-old that did yibum, posel ayidei achim, that the rest of the brothers should not do, the rest of the brothers should not do yibum. Ba'ala achim, if one of the brothers did do bia after this 9-year-old did bia, or also by maimer, he did maimer, one of these brothers did maimer after the cotton did bia, nos no get, or they gave a get, or cholzu, or they did chalitza, even though the cotton had already done yibum with his sister-in-law, or had done maimer with sister-in-law, poislim al yodai. The cotton can no, cotton can't live with his wife. And of course, the Gemara will explain why these halachas. Begins the Gemara. Atakula, the cases that we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if the husband only had relations with the sister after the first wife died, then he would be allowed to remain with the second wife. That was the second case of the Mishnah we learned, and the fourth wife. Ask the Gemara, Atakula, Lav Lachem Mises Rishon Ninu, aren't all of the cases in our Mishnah we're speaking about the case that the first wife died? Amar Rav Sheshes, says Rav Sheshes, that when the Mishnah used the statement, or Baal Shniya, Lachem Mises Rishona, what the Mishnah meant to say was, Lachas Mises Rishona Vadai, that the first wife certainly passed away before the second wife, before he had relations with the second wife. But not like the beginning of the Mishnah, where he thought that the first wife was died, but it was really alive. So in other words, the Gemara is pointing out that the difference between the two cases is that in the first case of the Mishnah, he had relations after he had relations when he shouldn't have had with the sister, because his first wife was still alive. In the second case, he was allowed to. It's important to repeat a halacha that we've learned many, many times in our Masechta. And that is that midaraisa is a woman whose husband dies without children. The way she could get married to her brother-in-law is with yibum. And of course, she may not get married to anyone else until yibum or chalitza are performed. Chazal, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, instituted maimer. Maimer, as we learned, is kedushin, like we have between a regular husband and wife. The Yavam gave his sister-in-law kesef kedushin or shtar kedushin. The halacha is that that kedushin is successful to the degree that even though, as we just said, midaraisa, it really is not a meaningful act, it is successful. It does accomplish that the other brothers should not do yibum here. This brother who did the maimer should be the one to consummate the yibum by doing yibum with this sister-in-law. And furthermore, if he'll decide that he doesn't want to be married to this woman, what will be required is that he should do chalitza, because midaraisa, the only act that totally separates the yavam from the yavama, is a chalitza. He'll have to do chalitza, but he would also have to give a get, because the maimer cannot be broken just with a chalitza. The maimer has to be broken with a get. Moreover, Chazal instituted that if one of the brothers gave the Yivama a get, what that accomplishes is that all the other brothers should no longer do Yibum Chalitza, just like a brother cannot do Yibum after a brother who gave Chalitza. So now the Gemara begins to explain the Mishnah. Ben Tesh Shonim. Says the Gemara, Ben Tesh Shonim V'yamechad B'tchil Apostle. Mishnah says that if the Ben Tesh Shonim, if the nine-year-old brother did Yibum first, that's when we have an issue when the other brothers do something afterwards. B'soif, but we're learning that if he was not the first one to do anything, that means if one of the other brothers did Maimer first, the halacha would be loy pasul, that we could disregard what he did. For Tanir of Zid Barashia, that if Maimer was done with Yivama, and then the nine-year-old brother had relations with her, pasla, because the beer of a cotton is effective, is going to be an issue to reckon, not only if he did the bia as the first brother to do something here, but even if one of the other brothers did maimer first, and then he did bia, since as we just said, midaraisa, the maimer is not really effective. The only reason the maimer is effective is midrabanan. And therefore, since we're having here a concern if the maimer of a cotton may be effective midaraisa, so if the bia of a cotton is effective midaraisa, then and the first brother all he did was maimer, so then why are we discounting his bia? Amri, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Bia cotton pasul, when a cotton does bia, I feel a besoif. Even if his act of bia was not the first act that occurred with this Yivama, it will still be a consideration. It will be something to be concerned with. And therefore, if the first brother did Maimer, and then he did Bia, we can't disregard that Bia, and now she can't be married to either. Maimer Tchila, but let's say the Maimer was done first, Pasul, the Aloch is that it will, if he did Maimer before his brother did Maimer, she shouldn't be married to the other brother. Besoif, but if the first brother did Maimer, and then the second brother, the cotton, did Maimer, we could disregard that Maimer. And ask the Gemara, Bi afil besoif pasul, are you saying that the bia was done even after the older brother did Maimer? That bia can make that Yivama Osir to the first brother who is a gadol, v'ktani el shu paisel betchila. But didn't our Mishnah say that a cotton only makes a difference if he was the first one to do something? V'hein, and the brothers who are not ktanim, who are gdolim, make a difference betchilu u'besoif. Ketzad, and we learned in the Mishnah the whole illustration, ben techeshan v'yemechad sheba yevimta. Then the halach is that since he was the first one to do something, that will affect what the other brothers could do. But if he wasn't the first one to do something, it would not make a difference. It says the Gemara, the Mishnah actually is missing some words. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Ben Tesh Shana V'yachad, Hu Paisa B'tchila. A nine-year-old makes a difference if he was the first one to do something. V'hein Paislim, but the other brothers make a difference whether they were the tchilo or soif, whether they were the first or if their act was first or not first. Says the Gemara in explaining the Mishnah, Medvar Mamurim, where is there a difference if the first brother was a nine-year-old or if the nine-year-old did something first or did not do it first? That's when it was done by Maimer. Avo Bia Peselis, Bia is an issue. I feel besoif. Even if it was done latest, even if the cotton did bia, not as the first act that was done with this yivama, since it's bia, then the bia is much stronger because bia is yibum deraisa. Ketzad, ben tesh shon v'yachod, ba'al yivimta, pasoy deyachim. Ask the Gemara, but by Maimer was saying that if it was done first, that will make a difference. If it wasn't done first, we don't have to be concerned. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That had the cotton done maimer first, then we would need to be concerned. That does his maimer make a difference? That if the cotton did maimer with the Yavama, she could no longer be a candidate for Yibam with the other brothers? For Tanya, have we not learned Benta Shanav Yemechad? Who paisel Bedavar Echad? He can make this Yavama no longer eligible to the other brothers through one act. For Achim paiselim, but the other brothers, the older brothers who are over by mitzvah, could make him ineligible to do anything with the Yavama, Aydei Arbedvarm. And the Mishnah explains, who the only act that he could do that can make a difference, says the Braisa, is he did Biyah. But the other brothers could make a difference. And the explanation is as follows. The chalitza of a cotton is certainly not a valid act. The mimer of a cotton may also be invalid because he's a cotton. So he's not a bar das to be able to do mimer. And for the same reason, his get would not be something to reckon with because he's not a bar das. Bia, as we've learned so many times in a masechta, particularly the bia in a yavama, doesn't need das. Its koina makes her his wife, bal karcho, even without any das. And since it makes his wife, Bal Karcho, even though the cotton doesn't have das, but since he's 9 years old, he has the ability to do bia, and that bia will make a difference. But what's relevant to our discussion is from our Mishnah, it seemed that even the mimer of a cotton, as long as it was the first thing that was done with this Yavama, is something to be reckoned with. And this Braisa says that the mimer of a cotton is irrelevant. Says the Gemara that that's not the way to understand the Braisa. The mimer of a cotton is to be reckoned with. So why did the Braisa say that the only thing that we have to reckon with by a cotton is bia? Bia, the pasul bein betchil bein besoif, because there's a fundamental difference between bia and mimer. Bia, that makes a difference whether the cotton did the bia first or the cotton did not do the bia first, psikale. So that's the halacha, that the bia of a cotton is always to be taken into consideration. And that's why the Braisa says that we have to be concerned about the bia of a cotton. Mimer, with a mimer of a cotton, betchila, if it was done first, if the cotton did mimer with the Yavama first, that puzzle would be a consideration. Besoif, but if he did mimer not as the first act with the Yavama, loy puzzle, it wouldn't make a difference. If the cotton did mimer, and not only did he do mimer, but if the mimer wasn't the first thing that was done with this woman, so maybe then the halacha is that mimer is discounted. So since that mimer is discounted, the Braisa is only focusing on something that's always effective, not something that's sometimes effective and sometimes not effective. Itmanami, it says the Gemara Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Yesh Leget, the halacha is that even the get of a cotton makes a difference. When? If the first thing that was done with this Yavama was that the cotton did a get with his Yavama. The Kena Marav, Tachlifa Baravimi, Yesh Loi Mamer, that a cotton did mimer, but it was the first thing that was done with the Yavama, the rest of the brothers will not be able to do anything with this Yavama, even though it was the get or mimer of a brother who's only a cotton. Tanya Nami Hachi, Yesh Loi Get V'Yesh Loi Mamer, Divrei Meir. Ask the Gemara, is that true? There was Sava Rameya. Is it true that Rameya is of the opinion that a cotton has the ability to give a get. Vatanya also bias bentesh. They treated the bia of a 9-year-old brother. They don't give it the chazal. Did not give it the strength of a bia, that it's only equivalent to maimer begadol. And just like the vama becomes usher through the other brothers if the maimer was done, so too if bia was done with her, she becomes usher to the other brothers. Remeya ama usher chalitza ben teisha, that the chalitza that a katan did is equivalent to a get that was done by a brother who's an adult. And therefore, as we've spoken, if the first brother, who was an adult, would have given a get, this woman is no longer a candidate for Yibam. Vim Isa, if we're going to say that the get of a katan is also effective, why did we say that the chalitza of the katan is like the get of a gadol? The halacha is that he should have said that the chalitza of a ben teisha is equivalent to the get of a ben teisha, if you, Rameya, hold that the get of a katan does make a difference. Says the Gemara, Amar of Hunabrei Rav Yeshua, Islay, Rameya is going to hold that a katan can give a get, but the get of a katan is weaker, zuter, than the get of a gadol, and therefore, since he agrees that the get is effective, it's just weaker in the get is than the get of a gadol. So we wanted to show what is equal to the get of a gadol. The chalitz of a katan, which is midaraisa act, is equivalent to the get of a gadol. Ask the Gemara, what does it mean when we said that the get of a katan is weaker than the get of a gadol? Says the Gemara, Lir Gamliel, Dama ain't get achaget. Gamliel said earlier in our Masechta, in Daf Nun, when you have a situation that a man has two yavamis, a brother died with two wives, and they fell to a yavam, and he gave a get to both, and the surviving brother gave a get to both of these widows. Or if you have two brothers and one widow, and one brother gave a get, and the other brother gave a get. So Gamliel taught us earlier in our Masechta that ain't get ach get, and that get is meaningless. The halacha is that if you give a get, even though it doesn't really make that much of a difference, but still the Rabbanan instituted that whoever received a get from a yavam, the halacha is she can no longer marry his relatives. The halacha is that would be here too. But, says Rav Gamliel, not all gittin are going to be create that halacha. Ain't get achaget. Says the Gemara, hani mili begodl achagodl. Says the Gemara, when is there halacha? They ain't get achaget. That if one brother gave a get, and then the second brother gave a get, we discount the second get. When is the halacha that if a brother gave a get, and then he gave another get, we discount the second get? That's by a get that was given by a gadol. Katan acha katan, but in a case, if one katan, similarly, if there was more than one brother who was a katan, so one brother gave, a brother who gave a katan gave a get, and then another brother who was a katan gave a get, the second get is meaningless. Avil gadol acha katan. Even though Ragamliel said, ain get acha get, that's only if the first get was given by a gadol. But if the first get was given by a katan, gadol lach a katan, that if after the katan gave a get, a gadol gave a get, mahani, that get is something that we have to take into consideration. Because as we learned, even though we're learning that the get of a katan has strength, it's not equivalent to the get of a gadol. And therefore, even though by a gadol, according to Gamliel, ain't get acha get, by katan, if the katan was the first get, then we would have to take into consideration the second get given by gadol. So now we've understood why, according to Rameya, why the Gemara said, according to Rameya, the get of a katan is weak. However, says the Gemara, Rabbanan, damer yesh get acha get, the Rabbanan hold that a second get that's given is does accomplish. So what does it mean? In what way is it their practical understanding that the get of a katan is weaker. Says the Gemara, Hani meili begodl ache godl, oi bekotten ache kotten. Avol kotten ache godl. Even if we're going to say that the get of a katan has strength, and even we're going to say that yesh get ache get, when you have here two issues, that there was a get given already, and the second get is, and that get was given by a godl, and the second get is being given by a katan, that get, loimahani, is meaningless. We learned in our previous Mishnah that the bia of a katan, when we speak about the bia of a katan, even though an older brother did maimer first, the bia that the katan does afterwards is something that we have to consider. So says the Mishnah, ben teisha shanim v'yamecha shabal yivimta, if a nine-year-old brother did bia with his yivama, v'akach ba'ala achav shu ben teisha shanim v'yamecha, and then another nine-year-old brother did bia with that woman, paisel al yaday. The halacha is that the first brother can no longer remain with the first wife, because since we learned that the bia of a katan is not considered a full-fledged bia. In other words, if a yavam were to do bia with his yavama, she becomes his wife. If any brother afterwards were to do anything with that wife, it would be meaningless. If he would give a maimer or get, it's nothing. Or chalitza. Who are you to give maimer to a married woman? Who are you to give a get to a married woman? Who are you to do even chalitza with a married woman? If you would do bia with that woman, it would be a very serious aveira. It would be the aveira of eshesach. But since the first brother who did yibum here is only a katan, and we keep on saying that the katan's bia is only equivalent to the maimer of a gadol, then the maimer of a gadol does not completely make her his wife. And therefore, since there was a bia done after maimer, now we have a serious issue. Rav Shimon Omer, that if the first brother who did bia was a katan, and then the second brother who would have done bia was a gadol, so now we have an issue. Because as we keep on repeating, the bia of the katan is really not a full-fledged act of yibum. But if the first brother who did the bia was a katan, and then the second brother is a katan, so if his bia is kaina, so she's his wife. And as we just explained, once the yavama becomes the yavam's wife, there's no room for further discussion. And if she's not his wife, because the bia of a katan we're going to discount, so the second bia here was also the bia of a katan, and we could discount it. If we have a halacha where the first brother was a nine-year-old, and he did yavama, he did bia, the first act was a bia by a brother who's 9 years old in one of the yavamas, and then the same brother, the same ish person, came and did bia with the second widow, we have an issue. And again, the same explanation. Even though once one brother does a full-fledged act of yibum, so all the other wives, all the other widows that are left over are completely out. Here, since the first act was not an act of real bia, because it was only the bia of a nine-year-old, and the bia of a nine-year-old is only equivalent to a maimer, so now if he, and certainly one of the other brothers, did bia with that other wife, she would become posel. Shimon Omer, again, the same reason. Whatever a katan could do, he could do, and if not, not. Tanya Amalem Rav Shimon L'Chachamim. And the Gemara goes into a dialogue between Rav Shimon L'Chachamim. In Bia Rishoyna Bia, if we're going to give credibility to the Bia of a Katan, then his Bia makes her into his wife. And then when the second brother, who's a Katan, did something, it should be meaningless. Bia Shnia ain't a Bia. If, on the other hand, says Rav Shimon L'Chachamim, then Bia Rishoyna ain't a Bia, if we're going to discount it, then the bia, because he's only a katan, then the bia shnia, then the bia that was done by the second brother, who's also only a katan, is meaningless. And that's what Rav Shimon says. According to my opinion, even though the act of a katan, the be of a katan, is something that we have not, can't give full power to, but if it was followed by a be of a katan, we could disregard that be. Says the Gemara, Masnesin like Ben Azai, our Mishnah is not consistent, says the Gemara, with the opinion of Ben Azai. The Tanya Ben Azai Aymer, Yesh Maimer Achamaimer, Bishnei Yivamim, Vivam Achas. If two brothers did Maimer with one Yivama, one brother, and then the other brother, since the Maimer is only effective Midraisa, it's not effective Midraisa, it's only effective Midrabanan, and therefore they both are going to be effective. If one Yavam did Maimer in both Yavamis, then the second Maimer is meaningless. Because every brother only gets one, only every brother only gets one Maimer. And the same thing would be a cotton. If a cotton did Bia with two of the Yavamis, the halacha is that his second beer would not be counted. Because since we're learning the beer of a cotton is equivalent to a mimer, and we're learning that a yovam only gets one mimer, so if he does mimer twice, the second case of our Mishnah, the Rabbanan are concerned, according to Ben Azai, since you only get one mimer, there's no need to be concerned about the beer that he did with the second yovam. Says the Mishnah, Ben Tainish Shan of Yemechot Shabal Yevimta. If this 9-year-old did be with his Yivama, and then he passes away, Cheletzis Filemis Yabemis. Now the other brother that survives, since what he did is only equivalent to a Maimer, so there's Zika from the first husband. And now, there's Zika from the first husband still. That Zika from when our first husband passed away has not really been taken care of, because all that was done towards that Zika was the bia of a cotton, which is only equivalent to the mimer, which midaraisa doesn't take care of your problem. But on the other hand, she was also somewhat married to the second, to this cotton, because he did do bia. So it turns out that now the third brother, who's now going to have to deal with this wife, is coming, she's coming to him with the Zika from two houses. From her first husband, which is a full-fledged marriage, and from the second marriage that she had Bia with her brother-in-law who was a cotton. And we've learned that the Tariq Desha says, Yivama Yavaleh, Mishiyesh Aleh Zika Shavim Echad, V'yoloi Mishiyesh Aleh Zika Shnei Yivamim. Nasi Isho Meis. If a cotton married a woman, and he died, Hareza Petura, this wife is put, and she, the Hakatan died without children, this woman doesn't have to have Yibama Chalitza. Even though, as we keep on repeating, the Bia of a Katan does have validity in Halacha, but she's not his wife. A Katan can't get married. So if the Katan can't get married, his wife is not a halachic wife that she should require Yibama Chalitza. Ben Teish Hashan of Yomechot Shabal Yevimta, if a 9-year-old had Bia with his Yivama, Umishihigdal Nasi Isha Cheres. And then, after he became Bar Mitzvah, he married another woman, Umais, and now he dies without children. Imla Yada Rishoina, if he never had relations with his Yivama, after he became a Gadol, Imla Yada Rishoina Mishihigdal, if he never had relations with his first wife after he became Bar Mitzvah, so the halacha is, and now he died without children. Harishayna chaletzis v'loi misyabemis. The first wife is avigleid to have chalitza, not yibam. Because again, she's coming to this brother with the zika of two husbands. The first husband, which she had a perfectly fine marriage with, that zika was really never completely dealt with. Because how was that zika addressed? With the bia of a cotton, which we keep on repeating is no more than a mimer. The second wife that this original cotton left over is a full-fledged wife. So the shniya, oy cheletzis, oy misyabemis. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, Miyabim Lazer Shirza. The disturbed brother does even with any of the two wives. Because the halacha is that if the Zika was taken care of with the bia of the cotton, so then she's his full-fledged wife. If the Zika wasn't taken care of, then she's a wife coming only from the first husband. And then Chayilus L'Shniya. Because he can't do Yibam. The third brother can't do Yibam with both. Because if the bia of the cotton was a bia, then the two wives that are coming from the same house. And therefore, you can't do Yibam with both, because you only could do Yibam with one sister-in-law. This halacha, that all of these halachas that we mentioned apply whether he's a 9-year-old or even if he's a 20-year-old, that he also has the din of a cotton, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Amar Rava, Had Amar Rabbanan, Zika Shnei Yivamim, that if a Yivama comes with a Zika of two husbands, Nichlet Chalitza, she's only a candidate for Chalitza, Yivama Loim Yama, that she doesn't have, she's not a candidate for Yibam, Loim Tema, Hechadikat Sara, that if the wife has another, that if the brother has another wife, Dikal Migzim Shem Tzara, that's when the halacha is, that as we learned earlier in the Masechta, where we had on Daf Lamed Aleph, and that case was mentioned many times, where there were three brothers married to three women, and one died, and then the second brother did Maimer with the widow, and then before he could consummate that Maimer, he passed away. That we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph on the Beis, that these two women, Chotzos Loi Mitzvah Mois, that maybe only that case, Chazal said, that only Chalitz is an absolute Dikla Migzim Shem Tzara, because that's when Chazal were concerned that if you're going to allow Yibam with one of them, people are going to make a mistake and say that two Tzaras from one brother could both have Yibam. The Hacha, in our Mishnah, where the cotton had relations with his Yivamta and he died, Leka Tzara, there is no Tzara to this woman, and Michlat Chalza, still the halach is that the wife has to have Yivu, only Chalitza Yivum Eloyama, because she has the Zika of two Yivamim. So we see from here that even when there is no Tzara, this issue is an issue. Nasa Eishu of a Mace, if somebody married a woman and he died, then that if a cotton married, that wife doesn't have to have Chalitza or Yibam, because his marriage is not considered a marriage. Says the Gemara Tanina Lahad Tana Rabbanan. Our Mishnah is teaching us what we learned in the Braisa. Shait v'katan shenasu umesu. The shesayim p'turus min chalitza min yibam. It's not considered a valid. It's completely ignored. We learned in the Mishnah ben teisha shana mishahigdo, a 9-year-old that did beer with his yivama, and then he married after he became a mitzvah another wife. We learned, so now this Yivama, according to the Tanakhama, Chalotzes V'Lei Mishabemes, because she has the Zika of two husbands. Ask the Gemara, V'yasu Bias Teisha Shonim K'mayim V'Gadol. The halacha is that we're treating the Bia of a cotton like Maimer, and the halacha is that the Baalas Maimer, the halacha is that she should not have Yibam. If a woman, we just mentioned that if a woman had Maimer and then the brother-in-law who did Maimer with her dad passed away, she can't have Yibum from the third brother. And if that's the case, Titchet Sarah Meyibum, then the other wife of this cotton who he married after he was Bar Mitzvah should not have to have Yibum, like we learned in the Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph. Omer Rav Lo Yosu Bias Ben Teshu B'Kimayim B'Gadol, that it doesn't have that same halacha. Shmuel Amar Asu V'Asu. V'Ken Amar Rav Yochanan Asu V'Asu. The bee of a cotton is equivalent to the maim of a gadol. Says the Gemara V'Yasu. If that's the case, why would the tzara, as we just learned in the Mishnah, Latav Yibam? Says the Gemara Tanayi. This is a machloikus Tanayim. Why would the woman that we keep on speaking about that her husband died And then Abraham Lord did Yibam. Why can she no longer, and now he died, the Baal Maimer died, why can't she have Yibam from the third brother? And that will be relevant to our Mishnah. Hach Tana, Darba Achim, the Tana that we learned earlier, Gaza Mishim Tzara, that said the reason that this woman should not have Yibam is not because of an issue that she's coming with two Zikas. There's no such a case. The halacha is the reason that she can't have is because if he did Yibam, if we're going to do Yibam with the Baal Maimer, we're going to make Yibam with the Tzara as well, as yes, will we learned. And people will mistakenly believe that two widows from the same brother could both have Yibam. And therefore, the halacha is that even chalitza with one in Yibam with one is not an option. Vashminim begadol, and that halacha applies whether the person who did the maimer was a gadol, who had been bekotten. Vahu vada amr, why was this halacha said earlier in our mesechta by a gadol? Mishin the begadol kai, because that's what was the subject that we were discussing then. Vahat tan the halacha, whereas the Tan of our Mishnah is of the opinion, Svirle Shal Asu, that the Bia of a 9-year-old is equivalent to a Mimer, and still, Veloy Gaza Mishim Tzara, and that doesn't prevent the other wife of this cotton, who had a full-fledged marriage, from being a candidate for Yibam, Vashminim Begotten, and that would the halacha would be by cotton, Vodim Begotten, Vodim Cotton, why was this halacha mentioned by a cotton? Because our Mishnah is by cotton kai. Azar Belaza, Amal Shmaitz of Bimei Medrash. Says the Gemara, Belaza went and said that the halacha that we've been learning, that the bee of a cotton is equivalent to the maim of a gadol in the base medrash. V'loi Amar Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan, but he did not say it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Shom Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan heard what happened here, Ikbid, and he was upset why wasn't it said over in his name. Amrlei, Ola Gabei Rav Amir Vasi, so he went to Rav Amir Ravasi. Amalei Lokai Chai Maisa Beis Knesset Shel Tveria. Wasn't there once an episode in the Beis Knesset in Tveria with the discussion of Menager, the halacha regarding when can one put on a bolt on a door on Shabbos? Sheesh Barosha Galustra, if it could be used to grind something. Shenachlka by Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi. We learned at the end of Masech the Shabbos could be used on Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer says that you may not, and Rabbi Yossi holds that you may. Ad Kar Sefer Torah B'Chamasan. Until there was such a vigorous debate that the Sefer Torah was burnt. Says the Gemara, Kar Sakadatach, did they get so angry that they ripped up a Sefer Torah? El Eima, they got so involved that Shnikra Sefer Torah B'Chamasan, because they were so upset, the didn't pay attention to what's going on, and the Sefer Torah got ripped. And there's a discussion, what does that mean, that the Sefer Torah got ripped? Under what circumstances do we have to fast? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the one has to fast when the Sefer Torah falls. Why do we have to fast? Is it because it's a terrible thing that the Sefer Torah fell? Or is it because it's a simon m'shamayim? And the question will be, if it fell, be oinus. And our Gemara seems to teach us that even though it wasn't done deliberately, it's still something to take into consideration. In this shul, such a terrible thing happened, and this shul eventually will become a base of Avodah Zarah, the Kenhava. The Ken Ikvid, after Rav Ami and Rav Asi said this, Rav Yochanan was even more upset. If you're treating Rabbi Lezer like my friend, that you're bringing me raya from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi, who are colleagues, not, and therefore they should have respected each other, but not in my case where Rabbi Lezer was my Talmud. Says the Ma'ol Gabei Rabbi Yaakov Edi. Amalei, and Rabbi Yaakov said to Rabbi Yochanan in order to try to appease him. The pasuk says, "Kashiv tziva Hashem as Moshe Avdoi, kain tziva Moshe Yeshua, v'kain also Yeshua lahisa dovim kolah shetziva Hashem as Moshe." Says the Gemara v'chir, kol davar shami Yeshua, every statement that Yeshua made, amalim kach amali Moshe, that Yeshua have to say that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu told me, Ella Yeshua Yosh v'darishtam, Yeshua would say, v'akal yoydim shal tarasa shal Moshe hi, and everybody knew that whatever Yeshua says is coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. Avra Beleza Talmidcha. So he said the same thing with Rabbi Elazar. He's your Talmud. Yosh v'darishtam. If he says something, haka yoydim, kishalchahi, it comes from you. Amalam, ibn ma'atim yoydim lefayis. Rabbi Yochan said to Rabbi Amir Ravasi, why are you not able to appease me like Rav Yaakov Eidi, who was able to? Rabbi Yochan, my time of Kavakula high. Why is Rabbi Yochan so upset if something wasn't said over in his name? It says, Dumar Dhamma Yudam Araf, my diksiv, the Pasuk says, Agura Ba'alecha Elamim. V'chiyash Elamim Elogu B'shtei Elamim. Either you're in this world or next world. Elamim Dava Fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribayna Shloilim, Yirotzen Shem Dava Shmi B'pi V'ulam. Ba'alem Azeh, people should say over Divrei Torah for my name in this world. If Divrei Torah is said over in the name of a Talmud Chacham in this world, Svasov David Vais Bekever, he will, it's his Divrei Torah living on. The Pasuk says, V'chikeich k'yayin atoif, hoylech l'doidi mishorim, doiviv sifse yishoidim. The Divrei Torah compared to wine. Like a cluster of grapes. Ma kaimishal avonim. Kivin shemneich oda etzba alav. If you put your finger on the grapes, miyad doiviv, they begin to shake. After midich chachamim, kivin shayim and doiviv shmiv, appeal of Olam Hazeh, when we say Divrei Torah in their name, in this world, svasov doiviv vayis bekever, it causes that their lips should move in the Olam Ha'emes. And what that means is when a person leaves the world, explains the Maral, he no longer has a connection to this world. But he still can have a connection to this world by his Divrei Torah being repeated. And not just that, the person, once he leaves the world, is not able to grow. But once, if he's saying Divrei Torah, we know that when a person leaves the world, he's not anymore a Hoylich, he's a Yoshev, he's a Oymed, he's not moving further. But if we say Divrei Torah from this Talmud Chacham, even though he's no longer in the world, he can remain a Hoylich, even the Olam HaEmes.